found the killer bee. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
In Fuentes, if I'm a defensive coordinator playing field, stack the box, he's screwed. They can throw it, yeah. 0315, Fields would flourish in Pittsburgh.
Now, why is that?
Yeah, why would he flourish in Pittsburgh but not
is that,
Chicago?
Is that the combination of stability at the head coach with Tomlin and with Arthur Smith, a more run-oriented offensive coordinator that could put the right plan around him?
I guess. Like, is Arthur Smith the reason that he's going to all of a sudden excel?
I think he'd be better in Atlanta. I think the weapons are better with Bijan and Drake London, all the different guys that they have. I think that he would have a plethora of options to work with, and I think that would be a better offense for him to run.
Did he not have weapons in Chicago?
Not the first 2 years.
So. Is DJ Moore not good?
Hey, look, I don't want to turn
into any of the running backs were great.
I don't want to turn into a Justin Fields apologist because I'm not Joe, but those first 2 years he was with the Bears, his weapons were absolutely atrocious. The Bears did nothing to help support his development. Now, this year they did give him DJ Moore, and he still didn't look like a great passer, to Jeremy's point, but those first two seasons in Chicago, they did him no favors at
all.
And
he was kind of the same guy. Like, he was kind of the same guy. That's why I would be mad if I was a really good receiver and all of a sudden, hey, we're getting Justin Fields to be your quarterback, because he was the same guy. With DJ Moore, without DJ Moore, like I'm not a fan.
Their
hopefully,
offensive,
I'm wrong.
But Jeremy,
I'd like them to have success.
Chicago's offensive line sucked. They didn't have much of a running game. They had completely over their head coaches, offensive coordinator and coaching staff, and then they hired a defensive minded head coach after they got rid of, kind of similar to the Houston situation, to get rid of two coaches actually trying to figure out the right guy. And I think he's been in a really tough situation for any quarterback. That's why, and because of his age and everything else, and because of his skill set, I still think there's a chance for him. We know what Russ is going forward, and even if he did have good numbers last year, you're right, because I looked at the numbers too and thought they were good.
Solid.
Yeah, good. But that's probably the best Russ you're going to get going forward for the rest of his career.
No doubt. And you're kind of just clinging on, hoping for one more solid year. 8924, would you bet your own money on Fields being a good quarterback one day?
No.
I wouldn't either. Brian,
you're the
Fields apologist.
No, I would.
Of the trio. Would you bet your own money?
Of the three, I guess I am. But no, I would not bet my own money on
Joe's
it.
Joe's even quit on Fields.
Split-flop back and forth.
Yeah,
though.
He broke up,
depends
got back together.
No, but I mean, recently. Like, I think he's all in on Caleb Williams.
Now he is.
Yeah, he's all in on Caleb.
Okay,
Williams
so let me throw you the other wild card then. Is Russ's career good enough to be in the Hall of Fame? Because even if this is the end for him, and he's never going to get any better.
Like, that's a completely different conversation.
Right, but I'm just saying, because everybody says when Russ was great, he was so great. He got one Super Bowl. Yeah, he probably should have had two. But overall, was that window open long enough? Was that window open long enough of success?
I have high standards for Hall of Fames. So, like, I have to go based on my standard. Like, the voting standard is I think, a lot more lenient than mine. You look at, like, the Basketball Hall of Fame, that's way more lenient than mine would be. If I'm the one casting the vote, because, like, we can sit here and play the predictive game for the writers and people who have the votes, blah, 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 blah. If I had a vote for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Russell Wilson's not in my Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I would agree. I look – kind of the questions I ask myself when thinking Hall of Fame is, can you tell the story of the NFL when that player was in – without him, and I think you can. I don't think Russell Wilson, and also I don't think he was ever a top three player at his position for an extended amount of time. So if I'm answering no on both of those, I can't put him in.
I think
he probably does get in, though.
I like the tell the story part.
Because Colin Kaepernick's a Hall of Famer.
That's actually a good point, too. But I think on the flip side, Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer under that scenario because he's won Super Bowls, he's been Super Bowl MVPs, multiple Super Bowls, and his longevity was enough that statistically he's in the conversation. Whereas you look at Russ, there were multiple times Russ, halfway to three quarters of the way through the NFL season, he was the leader for MVP. He never got an MVP.
No, he's hauled pretty good. Like, he led the league in touchdowns once, never led the league in passing yards. You mentioned the one Super Bowl. Made a few AP All-Pro teams. I'm not going to look at Pro Bowls because you know, Tyler Huntley is a Pro Bowler, and Gardner Minshew was a Pro Bowler, and the great Mitch Trubisky once upon a time.
He ran well for a few years.
Mitch or Russ?
No, Russ. Russ had some good rushing years.
Sure. I mean, he's a mobile quarterback. I still think he's pretty mobile. He's not as mobile as he used to be, but he's still mobile-ish. He can move better than Kenny Pickett, probably, or at least equal to Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett's not a bad athlete. That probably wasn't fair to Kenny Pickett catching those strays. All right, here's another position where the Texans cannot miss in free agency, in my mind. 713-780-3776. We've talked about third receiver. You know, that could come free agency. That could come draft. We've talked about running back. That could come free agency. That could come draft. Linebacker probably needs to come through free agency, defensive end, defensive tackle, like all of those have been in the mix. The new position where the Texans cannot afford to leave free agency without is safety. The safety position is turning into the running back position where if you make more than X amount of dollar, teams are getting rid of you. The amount of good free agents who have come available at the safety spot, like the free agency class was already good at the safety position. And now you're seeing all these cuts of like three or four guys who have been all pros in the past. It's like there's 12, 15 safeties that would mean an immediate upgrade over Jimmy Ward. The Texans can't afford, because I think you can get them cheap, because supply, demand, there's an oversaturation of the market. I think you can get a really good safety for a pretty low price, considering I don't think the Texans can leave free agency without picking up one of these guys, Blankers.
I looked at it the other day and mentioned it to BMAC just in passing. Like, when you look at, because you know I've been hot on that whole trail of how the Texans can really improve quickly, it's the cap casualties. But when you see Poyer from Buffalo, and you see Diggs and or if you have any interest in Adams in Seattle, who came in with a whole lot of hype, got a whole lot of money, and has been a whole lot of hurt, but he can hit. And then you start going around the league and looking, what's his name in Denver just got cut too after eight strong years, and you're going, my goodness, there's so much talent on the open market, and I got to believe one or two of these guys you can catch a deal on. They still got plenty left in the tank, and they'd be a perfect add and mentor in a lot of ways to try and get, you know, a guy that you're trying to, you absolutely need to kind of Petrie to come back from a bad year and be a better player and help him. I think that you're right. If they get out into the free agency market, there's got to be a guy or two out there that can help them.
It was a revolving door at safety last year, and it shouldn't have been. Like, Jimmy Ward should have been healthy. Like, you can't account for health, especially in football. Like, you have to plan that these guys are going to get hurt. That's why you need to go too deep at every single position. But look at all the guys who got run last year at safety. Jimmy Ward, you know, probably had a below average season for his standards, and I don't think it would be fair to think that he's going to have like this huge improvement at this stage of his career after an injury riddled season. Yep. DeAndre Houston Carson got a lot of run at safety. You picked up Kareem Jackson late, didn't really play much, but you picked him up late because that's how weak you were there.
Amos,
after he was waived. Amos was another name that was missed there. Like, you kind of missed Jonathan Biles after you let him leave to go to Green Bay in free agency.
Yep. You can have
there
him back if you want. Him.
So many good safety. And look, I think that you've also been cut Jimmy Ward, save the $4 or $5 million. Hey, just keep Jimmy Ward if you want. If you feel like Jimmy Ward's this huge valuable piece to have in the locker room, cool. He's your third safety. And sign one of these other guys who are really good as cheap as you can. Like, there's 12 guys out there that you could probably sign. Sign the cheapest one of those 12 and have three good safeties because one's inevitably going to get hurt.
That's the thing. You fool me once, shame on you, because you're thinking Jimmy Ward's going to be healthy all season long. And maybe it would have been different if he was. But even when he was healthy, he didn't look like the Jimmy Ward that was in San Francisco. But I'm not doing that. I'm not signing up for that again at that priority, right? To your point, if he is back and he is your third safety, that and he's your backup and he's your insurance policy, so be it. But you need to improve for that reason, but more so because on the field, you've got to be better at that position. And like I said, and if in the process of doing those things, the leadership, the veteran experience can help a guy like Petrie as well, I think they have to look at that.
You have options, too. Like, he could be your third safety. He could be your backup nickel. Like, I would cut Jimmy Ward. I'm not calling for the Texans to cut Jimmy Ward, but I am calling for them to sign one of these safeties because there's oversaturation of the market, and they're too good not to. That could really help you a lot. And I heard some audio the other day. It might have been from Brown Chubby Bear on Twitter, who's a big Texan social media guy. Really good insight. I recommend the follow. He even posted some video from D'Amico Ryans, I think at the Combine, talking about how important safeties are to this defense. Okay, well, if safeties are really important to this defense, Jimmy Ward needs to be your number three at best. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Vera, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up, Vera?
Hey, guys. I appreciate you guys letting me call in. I think what we need is a deep free safety. Petrie had been put in there last year when Ward was hurt or whatever, and I think he kind of, I don't want to say stunk it up, but he struggled. His natural place is being closer to the line of scrimmage, closer to the box. So he can, you know, he can be play that star position that he was very good when he played at Baylor. And I think we need to find a deep free safety, and that's where somebody like a Justin Simmons or one of the other guys that they'll find. And Jamal Adams has again struggled in coverage. He was again a very good near box safety. So I think what they are, and same thing with Kareem Jackson, right? So I think what they are looking for is like a deep free safety who can be like a ball hawk. I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on it. I'll hang up in this week. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Vera. Appreciate it. Look, there were several guys that intrigued me. And I think that one of the things that you're looking for is the best combination, too. Like, I think a guy like Poyer, I think Poyer's got plenty left in the tank. Poyer's got leadership skills. Poyer can hit as well as he can cover. And I think that that's what you're looking for. I think sometimes Petrie got lost in coverage a lot, but we knew that he could tackle. We know that he liked, you know, he led the team in tackles, what, a year ago. But overall, I need a combo guy that's a veteran guy that kind of does both well. That's why I'm not going to be as much on some of these guys that other teams are looking at. I don't think that some of the guys in either guy in Seattle is not someone that interests
me. No, I don't really like either guy in Seattle too. Vera mentioned Justin Simmons, which is the Bronco name that you mentioned.
That's right.
I'd be a fan of his. A couple of the Giants safety McKinley, and then
that's right. Yeah.
What's the Commander's name again? I'm blanking.
Cameron Curl.
Curl. That's right. I like him a bit too. I do agree with Vera's point. Now, D'Amico doesn't really love like box safety, free safety. He likes those safeties to be interchangeable. So that's something to keep an eye on when you're talking about like scheme fit, because he wants them to be interchangeable because he doesn't want to like tip their hand either way. But I do agree with Vera that Jalen Petrie's strong suit is more as a box safety than it is as a coverage safety. Completely agree, 100%. He's way better in the box than he is, you know, trying to cover deep routes and is a free safety. So I agree 100%. And if you could find a safety, even if D'Amico wants him to be interchangeable, that complements Petrie's skills and strengths better than I think Jimmy Ward did, I think you're going to have more feng shui and a better safety unit.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think that there's options out there, to your point, and they're all going to be a huge upgrade for this team for the most part if you just single in on the right guys. I think we've kind of narrowed it down, but I think that if you can get just that one veteran presence, and whether you go my route, I really think Poyer is going to help some team immensely this year. I think he's going to be fantastic, and he's still, and like I said, he's got the capability to be an all-pro. But there are guys out there that could immediately help this defense get better and helps D'Amico.
Yep, 713-780-ESPN. Just came across a tweet that says Dave Roberts announces Mookie Betts will be the Dodgers' shortstop moving forward. Is this real?
It is real. I've seen several people tweet it out.
Wow. That's crazy. 713-780-ESPN.
They said he has more gold gloves in right field than he has complete games as a shortstop in big league baseball, and yet he's going to be the Dodgers' starter at shortstop.
I'm intrigued to see that. He was already being ranked like one of the top second basemen in all of baseball and had played like five games.
I know he played more,
but I'm just teasing. That's crazy. He's played short. All right, let's make mock drafts great again. How are we doing that today, and how are we making the Texans better? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees.
What's he saying about bees?
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't know. He said he was, like, protecting the hive.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your resident beekeepers, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Sadly, Jason Statham was unavailable.
I'm a beekeeper.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. Jason Statham is going to make an appearance in Mean Techs a little bit later, by the way. 713-780-ESPN.
B-Mac's excited.
B-Mac makes an appearance on Mean Techs, too.
Let me guess,
I sound like Buffalo Bill?
No, that was last week. We only original material here. Blankers makes an appearance on Mean Techs.
Yay.
I make an appearance on Mean Techs. We all make appearances on Mean Techs. 713-780-3776. Still time for you to make an appearance on Mean Text.
That was blatantly not necessary, but go ahead.
What was that?
That we need more. There's no piling on. That's enough.
No, it's fun.
For you, like, it's fun.
It's fun. Don't be sensitive, Blinkers.
I am sensitive. We already know this. Why am I going to change my stripes now?
Sit back and let me tell you about how much fun we'll be having. All right, let's make actually, before we make mock drafts great, a couple of texts here. 4199, it's a buyer's market for safeties. Absolutely is. Texans need to take advantage of the market. 3326, the fact that the Texans have so much cap room and there's so much available on the market gives me real hope for a Super Bowl run. Ooh. Cash it or trash it.
Ooh, that's, I'm going to trash that for this next year.
See, I think I'm in a position where I'm just not going to doubt C.J. Stroud and DeMeco Ryans.
You got to wait and see? Because I think this offseason matters.
Boring. We don't want to wait.
I got to
see
the draft. I got to see the free agency moves. I got to see how they spend the money, how they use all the assets they have this offseason. There's a chance that if they make, you know, push the right buttons and make the right moves, that it doesn't matter who they play.
Yeah, it's fair. Let's look at the roster. But my prevailing mood is I believe C.J. Stroud. But you're right. Mm-hmm. We should wait, all that. Blah, 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 blah. Ocho texting us college basketball.
Six times an hour.
Which is fine. I love Ocho.
I love Ocho, too, but I mean six times an hour.
8089, sign Patrick Peterson as corner for Texans. Absolutely not. That's a hard no. No way.
He was washed.
Yeah. I don't want him on the team, period.
I'm not going to say washed. Corner. I watched him a little bit more.
How old is he? He's got to be in his 30s.
He's an unbelievable athlete. He made some plays last year that I didn't think he was capable of making, but I don't want him on this team.
He's 34. Pro Football Focus player grade last year of 16.5.
Not great.
I don't need Patrick Peterson on this football team. Not a corner. I don't need him on this football team, period. 713-780-ESPN. So yesterday we had the four options of Kool-Aid McKinstry, Xavier Worthy, Troy Fatano, and my guy Jackson Powers Johnson. Kool-Aid, you're a Texan. He won the vote at 45.5%, beating Worthy at 34%. Fatano had 13%. My guy Jackson Powers Johnson brought in 7% of the vote. Sad day for sinners. So Kool-Aid, a Texan, according to yesterday's poll. Today, operating from CBS Sports' Chris Trapazzo, making mock drafts great again. He has Caleb Williams going number one, no surprise. Jaden Daniels going number two to Washington. We've seen more of that recently. Then he has a quarterback shortage for a few picks. He has Marvin Harrison going number three to New England. Rome Odunze number four to Arizona. Talese Fuaga is the Chargers left tackle at pick number five. The third quarterback off the board, number six to the Giants, and his name is J.J. McCarthy. So Drake Mayo falling in this board. Neighbors goes number nine, and then Drake May eventually lands to Minnesota at number 11.
I think Minnesota would be ecstatic if that happened.
Oh, they would be. Yeah, they would love
it. Yeah, because a lot of people have said, I've heard some people coming out of the woodwork killing Drake May, but I've also heard some people say you let him sit for a year and kind of play behind a guy and get ready for the NFL and have a year to do it with NFL lifestyle coaching staffs and everything. He's still got too many tools. He's going to be really good. Some people even compared him to Jordan Love, but I think that he's got a lot of skill, but there's still doubt. I mean, and you look at Trubisky was the last Carolina quarterback that this happened to. There's reason that people can question him, no doubt about it.
Also, Daniel Jeremiah still has him as his second-ranked quarterback. So I think he could still be the number two pick of the draft.
I think when the chips fall for real, I think he'll be one of the top three quarterbacks. I can see some teams getting so enamored with Daniels that they get flip-flopped, but I don't see him. Those are the top three, and I think that they are the first three off the board. I don't think there's any way that I see J.J. McCarthy getting over any of those guys.
Bookmark that one, Brian. Bookmark that one just in case. Momentum, I'm with you. Like, I have the same take, but McCarthy's momentum is a real thing right now. Like, it is happening.
Is it?
Yeah.
There's no NFL draft momentum in March.
Sure,
I mean, we heard conversations last year, and I'm not even pinning this on you guys, but we heard things in rumors in April about Will Levis going second overall, that the Texans were super interested, and then he slipped all the way to the second round.
Sure, but you start to see these like fifth round prospects that had great combines, and all of a sudden they're getting a third round grade. You have more scouts to talk. Absolutely,
yeah, but
absolutely momentum.
Momentum is based on what? Mock drafts? That's not real.
No, it's based on what people are hearing from scouts and executives.
Yeah,
and
but
what
it's
they think
lying
of certain
season.
Players.
They have no reason to tell them the truth.
Yeah, but you do see player movement, and these mock drafts are usually pretty accurate.
Yeah, Okay. Like, I don't want to belabor the point. Let's get on to the Texans.
Brian Thomas, number 13 to the Raiders. Brock Bowers falls to 14. Our guy Byron Murphy goes 16. Bo Nix, 17.
Remember the days when Brock Bowers was a top four pick or top five pick?
People are starting to catch up because of draft momentum. Jackson Powers Johnson, my guy's off the board at 21. Sad day. Ooh. All right. He has the Texans taking Chop Robinson at 23. We've talked about Chop. All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, so we're all good with that. Next three picks, Edrin Cooper at 24, A.D. Mitchell at 25, and then Jared Verse falls to 26 in this draft. So we have the option of Chop, Edrin Cooper, A.D. Mitchell, Jared Verse. You put your shoes in the feet of Nick Caserio. Who are you picking?
I said well, I think that everything that I'm seeing getting ready for free agency and the tampering period starting Monday is that Grenard is going to get money. He's going to go. So, therefore, my priority is, you got to replace him. And so, for me, based on the intel we've gotten recently, basically the thought process is you've got to get a pass rusher in the top 40 picks. So, therefore, I'm totally fine with sticking with Chop Robinson. I know he had a great draft combine. I'll be fine with that pick. I'm happy with that pick. They addressed a need. They went and got a guy that's probably going to start day one, so I'm good with it.
I like your logic, but you picked the wrong guy.
I'm
going with Verse over Chop. I think Verse is a better prospect than Chop Robinson. I'm shocked that he falls behind him in this mock. Most mocks have Verse going far ahead of Chop Robinson. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The mocks we've done recently, Jared Verse is going ahead of Byron Murphy in the low teens.
I thought some of the mocks we did, he was falling like to the 25, 26.
There was one that was two weeks ago. Most of them have been the opposite.
Daniel Jeremiah's big board, too. He has Jared Verse as his 14th ranked prospect, and then he has Chop Robinson as his 23rd ranked prospect. And most big boards, I don't think I've seen a big board that has Chop ahead of Jared Verse. I don't think Jared Verse is going to be here. But with the game that we're playing and the mock that we're using since we outsource it, yeah, I'm going Jared Verse with my pick here at number 23. And Brian?
Yeah, I would also, ultimately be happy if it's either the two pass rushers, because it has to be one of the two pass rushers. The fact that linebacker could be considered in this scenario would be something that would absolutely tick me off.
Yeah.
But if forced to pick between the two, I would definitely go with Jared Verse. It's almost Bad Take Boulevard worthy to me that Verse is here at 26. I don't see him as being a prospect that gets past 20 at all.
So if you want to take Bad Take Boulevard on the author of this entire thing.
We got to wait till draft day, though.
Well, but you should also take a look at the fact that when you read the comments on the Texans choosing Chop Robinson, it says the Cardinals should turn this pick in immediately.
That's weird. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Proof that
it's just a typo.
Proof it.
He doesn't have an editor. They can't afford editors at CBS.
Proof your own work.
The early returns on this, the vote that we posted at Jeremy Branham at ESPN 97.5, it's going to be a tight one, guys. The early lead is Jared Verse at 33%, Chop Robinson at 30, A.D. Mitchell at 26, and Edrin Cooper is at 11. If Chop and Verse are on the board, I'm with Brian. I'd be ticked off if they didn't take an edge. Like, I would be ticked off if they took a linebacker. I'd be ticked off if they took a receiver, quite frankly.
Well, that's why I said, if they're using that number, that 23 pick on any kind of edge rusher with the fact that basically we've been told the starting caliber pass rushers are 1 through 40 in this draft, in the top 40, and that's it, then I want them to go. And I've been adamant all along, I want to go defense on the first round pick. I'm great with either one of those guys.
713-780-ESPN. It's time for everybody's favorite game. Brian's going to read to us quotes that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities, and then the Killer Bees have to guess who said it. Who said it? Everybody's favorite game with the Killer Bees next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
All right, time for Who Said It. We've won the last 2 weeks. Is that right?
Yes.
Squirrel.
No, that is incorrect.
No, yes, we have.
No, the first week I was back, you went 1-4. And then last week you went 4-1.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, we hammered Joe earlier in the month of February. Yeah,
you're 1-1 against me since I've been part of the show. Yeah.
I imagine that Brian didn't take too kindly for the beatdown we gave him last week.
I didn't
prefer.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Vengeance today.
Yeah, I think he gets a little, what do we call it?
Ticked off?
No, what is Joe? What was Joe famous for?
Angriness?
No, being Bush League.
Oh, yeah.
I could see Brian being Bush League this week.
Your favorite term.
Yeah.
Brian's going to go all of the things that we picked up on last week from certain guys and then flip it to other host, I bet. So we kind of got to go reverse psychology here a little bit. All right, let's get started. Quote number one.
All right, quote number one. He's better than Case. Oh, and this is talking about Russell Wilson. He's better than Case. I know people love Case, but he's a better backup than Case. And if he could win one or two games, but then you have, you know, how great it would be for the branding for the Texans with the new uniforms coming in of Sierra wearing the new uniform. Think about it.
I believe this is the G-Men.
Granado?
No. The G-Men.
Oh,
otherwise,
the Killer G's.
You know the Killer G's.
Yeah,
you
what a weird take.
Well, of course. And I think it could be either one. It's a bad take, so it's definitely spot on for Joe.
Yeah.
But mentioning Sierra would be a Pauly thing.
Yeah, can you repeat it?
Yeah, sure. He's better than Case. I know people love Case, but he's a better backup than Case. And if he could win one or two games, but then you have, you know how great it would be for branding for the Texans with the new uniforms coming? Of Sierra wearing the new uniform? Think about it.
More like Paul.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think the bench is saying this. I don't think Dell is saying this.
Yeah.
It's that show, in my opinion.
It seems so obvious that it worries me.
I agree. That's the scary thing about the whole Sierra part of it, too.
Yeah, like, is it Joe piggybacking off of Paul's point? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it could be it's a bad take, so definitely it'd be Joe. But the Sierra mention has me thinking it's Paul. And because Paul has been deeply involved in that uniform, the color change, he's had a lot of intel on that.
I feel like he's trying to trick us, though. Say, can you repeat it one more time?
A third, okay.
Ooh.
He's better than Case. I know people love Case, but he's a better backup than Case. And if he could win one or two more games, but then you have... You know how great it would be for branding for the Texans with the new uniforms coming in? Of Sierra wearing the new uniform? Think about it.
I think it's Paul.
I feel like he's tricking us. But we'll go with... Let's see where he's at. Paul Gallant.
He's better than Case. I know people love Case.
Wow.
But he's a better backup than Case. And if he can win one or two games.
Okay, Brian, you're already getting there.
Well, I knew he was going to do that this week.
Yeah, I kind of felt it too.
All right, number two. Time for you guys to get back on the winning track. All right, quote two. You know, Jose Abreu can't get his power back that he had when he won his no offense, fake MVP in 2020. I'm just saying, if we're going to call the Dodgers World Series a fake World Series, then you also have to call Jose Abreu as a fake MVP. You can't have it one-sided. It's all or nothing.
Wait, he said Jose?
I don't know.
Did you say that?
Brian, he's talking to you.
Sorry?
You said Jose Abreu? Is that what the host said?
It's Jose Abreu. I might have mispronounced it. Sorry,
we know
the
Joe
already.
Can recite when he wants, because he's a huge White Sox fan.
Yeah. It's true. That's where my mind was at, too.
Yeah. Let's just go with it.
All right. Joe George.
You know, Jose Abreu can't get his power back.
That was actually a layup.
When he won his no offense, fake MVP.
No offense.
All right. Even the score.
Wait, did you say Joe was a White Sox fan?
Yeah, we
give him
about
grief
that.
Over
oh,
that.
Okay.
Kid
gotcha. Okay.
Because he's from the south side, Joe is, of Chicago. That's why he's a White Sox fan.
Interesting. All right. Number three.
Is it?
No, not really. If I did not have to pay like $50 for this fight, and I can just watch it on Netflix, would I watch with the hope that Mike Tyson connects once with Jake Paul's face? Like every person in America annoyed by the brothers Paul, 100% I am in.
The brothers Paul.
So this is definitely a possibility on the G-Men or Dell. Do you think did John and Lance talk about this?
See, it sounds like a Lance quote to me.
Okay. Why?
It's just the cadence of it.
Brian's like really good when he reads it of sounding like whiny Paul when he kind of uses some of his emphasis.
Are you saying that he's whiny?
Oh, God, yes.
I meant Brian.
Oh, Brian McDonald. No, I don't think Brian's whiny.
Okay. What are you feeling on this?
Can I have it again, Brian, please?
Sure. If I do not have to pay like $50 for this fight and I could just watch it on Netflix, would I watch with the hope that Mike Tyson connects once with Jake Paul's face? Like every person in America annoyed by the brothers Paul, 100% I am in.
I kind of like where you're going.
Could be Granato, though, too. Like 100%. You know how he does his voice?
But I can hear Lance with this kind of slight emphasis on 100%.
My
100%.
My initial gut here is Lance.
I like it. I kind of feel the same way.
All right, let's do it. Lance Erlein.
If I do not have to pay like $50 for this fight,
I didn't think
can
Paul
just
had Netflix.
Watch it on Netflix.
Mm.
All right, critical point Netflix. Here.
I'm not mad at that guess, though.
Nah, I'm cool with it.
All right, quote number four. Moose is the one thing that of all the mammals out there that are not predators, that is probably the most terrifying non-predator mammal there is.
I feel like this is news of the weird.
Somebody was talking about moose on Twitter.
Lance had one where there was battering rams going at each other, and one wouldn't quit. I don't remember about moose.
I feel like it's
news of the weird.
I saw something on Twitter where they were talking about how the moose is an underrated animal. But I can't remember where I saw it.
My gut feeling is this is news of the weird, and I would think that Lance would be responding to John reading the story.
So you think it's Lance?
Yeah. That's my two cents. I don't know where your head's at with this one.
Say it again, Brian, please.
Moose is the one thing that of all the mammals out there that are not predators, that is probably the most terrifying non-predator mammal there is.
Did he say of twice?
Yes.
Who stutters? Lance or John?
A lot of guys do.
You think of Lance?
That was my initial, yeah.
All right, let's do it. Lance Erlein.
Moose is the one thing that I... Of all the mammals that are not predators.
Thanks, Brian.
That is probably the most terrifying.
He went Paul back to back.
Yeah,
see how tricky he got? I knew he wasn't happy with that 4-1.
Yeah.
Repeats are always allowed. You guys know that. Come on now. All right, you ready for number 5?
Sure.
Salvage a little bit of respect here.
Oh, okay.
All right. I do respect waffles more than pancakes. Yeah, I'm a big waffle guy. Individual syrup pockets? Are you kidding me? You can do a lot more with waffles. Pancakes are basic.
Is this a show one?
What do you mean? Is this a show one?
It's just one individual person.
Yeah, it's one individual.
Okay, because normally the fifth one, we also had that theater in the round.
Yeah,
and all that
I don't. I don't really like doing that.
Okay.
This sounds like a Lance one to me, and I think it's a great take. Waffles are way better than pancakes.
I like them both.
I like waffles more.
It's just if you prefer the crispiness with the texture of a waffle over just the flat pancake.
I like the squares. I like the individual vessels.
Oh, I love them,
like
too,
Lance
especially if they get butter in them.
Ooh, yeah, I think waffles are far more superior than pancakes. Like, waffles are more sophisticated than
my
pancakes
mom had
are.
A Belgian waffle maker for us growing up. That thing was badass. Ooh,
like,
was
think about it. Like, the waffle's more sophisticated. Like, it's a little bit, like, three-dimensional. It's got, you know, more nooks and crannies.
I agree.
More architectural design.
I'm not going
to
that
the waffle
far.
Is just far more sophisticated than pancake is.
Too much thinking on that. Just eat it. Tastes
Lance.
Better.
We'll go Lance. We already lost. Whatever.
Lance or Dell? We haven't had Lance, and we've guessed him twice. Might as well finish it out.
Yeah, Lance.
I do respect
a waffle.
Waffles more than pancakes, yeah. I'm a big waffle guy.
You are?
Individual
I'm not,
syrup?
I'm not. So 3-2.
Oh, that was that the syrup thing where he got stuff on him?
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. He confused peanut butter for syrup.
Wait, hold on. I didn't even hear that part
of
it.
Yeah, they went on this whole thing. Like, Granato and Dell were killing him, going, I understand you're on the road in Indy, but how in the freaking world do you confuse peanut butter for syrup?
So, wait, he was at a hotel and put peanut butter on his waffles?
Yeah.
Lance. Jeez.
He said he was in the dark. It was dark or something. He confused one for the other or something. Or maybe it was the package, and he grabbed the wrong packet.
Was he eating his waffles in a cave? I mean, how can he not see?
Depends on the size of his hotel room, right?
He might have just not turned the lights on. He does do morning radio.
But who would put syrup on the waffles in complete darkness? I mean, that's just an absurd reason to give to confuse peanut butter for syrup.
It really is. This is a lie, I feel like.
I'm sure it was just another. It's like when he made up the story about the fact that he didn't have the dexterity to get over a curb.
Yeah, I think he's lying. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What are the best and worst free agent signings in Texans history? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Killer Bees and some great music presented by RC Ranch,
the official beef jerky of the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo.
Is there a bigger star in country music today than Lainey Wilson?
No.
Lainey Wilson, big star right now.
Very popular.
It's Hard Like a Truck, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
The song's called Hard Like a Truck, isn't it, Brian?
No, it's Things a Man Ought to Know.
Oh. Swing in a Man.
She has a song called Hard Like a Truck. She has another song called Wait in the Truck.
Guess she likes trucks.
There's a thing called Things a Man Ought to Know. She was in Yellowstone, though. That's where I learned who Lainey Wilson was.
Yeah, that's when her career really took off.
Yeah, she was in Yellowstone for a few episodes. She played that guy's girlfriend. Who was that guy? He has a whiskey now, by the way. Garrison Brother Whiskeys, I think.
I think I've heard. Yeah, I saw something about that.
Yeah, she was in.
She's
was in
pretty talented.
Did you say that? Like, was that a pun?
No, she's both purdy and talented.
I think Joel's thirsty for Lainey Wilson.
No, that has nothing to do with it.
Maybe. Lainey Wilson featuring headlining NRG tonight at the rodeo. 2568, the consistency of peanut butter is totally different than syrup. I would think that once you put the peanut butter upside down that nothing would come out. That's a great point.
Yeah, you would have to actually like scoop it out and spread it. That's an excellent point. Like,
really good point.
As soon as you start to turn it over and nothing comes out, wouldn't you think, I didn't grab syrup?
So someone texted in what actually happened. It says it was the opposite. He took the syrup instead of peanut butter. Then he spilled it, stepped in it, and it all came up because Granado could hear a sink running in the background and could tell he was in the bathroom. Lance was trying to clean it off all while still on the show.
You know those commercials for like the As Seen on TV products was like, has this ever happened to you? And it's some idiot stumbling around in the garden hose trying to wash his car. That feels like that's Lance walking around his everyday life.
Then Dell followed it up, as I recall, because I was taking Taylor to school, and said that Lance intentionally, because he was afraid they were going to talk about him more, took his headset with him and actually used the toilet, and he could hear it flushing during the next segment.
Yeah. I think he denied that, but
he tried to, yes.
Who knows? Okay. That's still a weird thing to make. Like, where did he get the pancake? Where did he get the syrup? Like, it was in his room? Like, did he have both?
Maybe room service. One for the other? I mean, the room service could be delivered.
Yeah, I know, but you still have to see it.
Yeah, and if it was room service delivered, they wouldn't have given you peanut butter with your waffle.
Unless you asked for it.
But here's the thing, as the text is written, he took the syrup instead of peanut butter. Like, unless it's those little individual, like, ketchup packet type things, or those.
Yeah.
It could have been the little squarish things.
That's what I'm saying. Not like a packet, but those little, like, mini plastic with
the little cups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only way it could have been.
But then he spilled the syrup. Well, evidently you spill the syrup if you're trying to spread it on a sandwich.
If it was the little cups, I could see it. Because, like, okay, I'm grabbing for the peanut butter. Here you go. I'm going to tip it over. And all of a sudden, oh, it's everywhere because you didn't expect it to come out. It had to have been the package. We should be detectives, I think.
I think you're right. CSI Bees.
Yeah. There's still no way it was so dark that he couldn't see it, though.
BSI. All right, what are the best and worst Texan franchise signings in history? 713-780-ESPN. What are the best and the worst, Blankers?
Well, the worst for me, the ones that come to mind right off the top, are Brock Osweiler. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rick Smith. Ed Reed, thank you, Rick Smith, and
I think that's one too.
All-time Packers leading running back rusher in the history of the Green Bay Packers, Amon Green.
I think he hit 1, 2, and 3.
Amon Green was supposed to be
I would say those are 1, 2, 3.
Amon Green was supposed to be huge here. So was Ed Reed, actually. They thought Ed Reed had something left in the tank. He barely played.
Sadly, Elmore and Green gave more than Ed Reed did.
I have to go with Osweiler. Like, Osweiler was the most expensive of the three, and you also had to trade a pick just to get rid of the contract.
Yep.
Yeah, like, how can you give away a second.
How can you get worse than that? Like, Ed Reed obviously was, like, a huge disappointment because, again, like, he was going to be the guy you brought in. He had this championship pedigree. He was going to push you over the hump. You were good back then. He was, like, the prize free agent of the time. Amon Green was, like, early Texans, wasn't it? Like, wasn't it still kind of expansion-y Texans?
But he was coming off a good season in Green Bay where they thought he was going to elevate the running game. And he was supposed to be, like, the main go-to back for this system and this team. And then he crapped the bed.
Yeah, but it was still super early
in
their franchise history.
I wouldn't have Amon Green first, but I think he deserves to be top three. I would also have Brock Wurst. Just, I mean, what you said, you paid to get him, then you had to give a second round pick away to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Plus, you
Brock
know, wasting
was
the
Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook for the Rockets. You had to give away stuff to get rid of him.
But they were better.
Yeah, but Chris Paul was good while he was here. Brock sucked. Yeah.
Remember the overriding phrase always used with Brock Osweiler was small sample size, 6 games.
Yeah.
That was over and over everything.
How do you use a small sample size of 6 games and give him your franchise quarterback spot?
2568 says drafting or hurt Tony Boselli. One of the worst moves ever, but it's not a free agent signing.
Right.
So that wouldn't be.
That was the expansion draft, right?
Yeah. 1984, no gain, Ron Dane. That's such a good nickname.
I never heard that before.
I haven't either. I've never heard that nickname. If you created that 1984, you're a genius. I like that one a lot.
Not that Ron Dane was a good signing, but he was. He did go off in the very first win the Texans had against the Colts, so he's instantly above Brock and Ed Reed.
Yeah. I don't think Ron Dane cost you an arm and a leg
like these other guys did.
2568, worst is Ed Reed. Another one saying Ed Reed was the worst signing, not close. I disagree. I think Brock Osweiler is clearly
the money and the years and the expectation for Brock Osweiler was different.
The counterpoint is Brock got you to the playoffs. That would be the counterpoint. But then the other point is, well, he was so bad that you literally used a second-round pick to trade him and get him off the books. And then you drafted Deshaun Watson the very next year.
The counterpunch was Bill O'Brien in the coach's office at halftime of the Tennessee game.
Allegedly, right. Allegedly. How about the other side of the conversation? What's the best free agent signing the Texans have ever had?
Jonathan Joseph has to be up there.
He's my number one. Yeah.
J. Joe was really, really good in Cincinnati, and they went out and got him. They paid for him, but, boy, he played well when he was here.
Not only did they go out and get him, but I'm sure you'll remember about that offseason. Everyone was obsessed with getting Nnamdi Asamoah.
That's right.
He ends up going from the Raiders to the Eagles, and everyone was disappointed because you had to, quote-unquote, settle for Jonathan Joseph. Jonathan Joseph obviously outplayed Nnamdi Asamoah the rest of his career, and he's one of the guys, I don't think he gets in the ring of honor for the Texans, but he's certainly on the short list of players, and you got him in free agency. I think he's got to be
He's still in town, highly regarded. I think he's one of those Texans ambassadors. He was great here on and off the field.
I don't know how the answer is not John Weeks. John Weeks, who should be the next Houston Texan in the Ring of Honor. They signed him after he was out of the NFL for 2 years, and he's been the greatest long snapper in history. The longest reigning Houston Texan has been here since 2010. It's John Weeks, slam dunk. Slam dunk.
Well, aside from him, I think that the obvious one is Arian Foster because you didn't draft him. He was an off-the-street guy you signed.
I don't really
care.
He doesn't count.
Why?
Because he's an undrafted free agent.
But you
We're
signed
talking
him?
About, like, in free agency.
Yeah, but you signed him.
Yeah, but when we talk about, like, what the Texans must do in free agency, we're not talking about undrafted free agents.
Yeah, technically you're right. Technically you're right.
To give you credit, Joel, that was the number one free agent signing that CBS listed. But personally, I don't think they should count.
This was an article. I thought we were just asking a question.
No, this was an article, and they gave Arian Foster the number one
spot.
Yeah,
I think the fact that, you know, at that point, whatever, talent evaluation, you found this guy, you pulled him off the street, and he became all pro and your best running back for a couple years.
I just look at the undrafted free agency period as an extension of the draft, though. Like, that to me is more of a, and I know technically you're right, but that to me is more of the draft pick than it is actually like a free agent signing. Like, to me, free agent signing, you're going into free agency, you're signing a veteran, he comes to, you know, he helps your team. Arian Foster was a rookie. Signing a rookie doesn't feel like free agency to me, but I know he's technically a free agent.
I'm trying to think of other, like,
I mean, Daniel Manning was a really good signing. Yeah, same year as Jonathan
Joseph. They got him from the Bears.
I would go J. Joe over Manning, though.
Oh, I would, too.
More
yeah.
premium
J.
position.
J. Joe's my number one.
And he lasted longer.
Wade Smith. Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really fixed that offensive
Shane
line.
Shane Lechler was a good
there.
Signing.
I mean, if you're going specialist,
was really
though,
good
it's John
here.
Weeks.
Yeah, Lechler was great.
I mean, he's a punter, but he was really good here.
Expecting Weeks. Kevin Walter. I mean, Shane Lechler doesn't punt the football without John Weeks touching it first.
Oh, my God.
It's true.
Why did I think of
such a stand for him?
How bizarre is it that I was thinking Kevin was Kevin Walter signed?
Yeah, he was a free agent.
Yeah, he was a free agent.
Yeah, he was a free agent.
Well, they loved him here.
He was next on my notes. That's why I mentioned his name. Kevin Walter, third best Texan receiver ever.
Is that right?
I mean, he's arguably he's got the third most receptions.
That's what I was going to say. Statistically,
he never had a 1,000-yard season here though. Cooks had two of those.
It's Andre and
you
D-Hop,
going Brandon
right?
Cooks over Kevin Walter?
I'm just saying he produced more on a season by season basis than Kevin Walter. Kevin Walter had bigger moments. He had bigger Texas moments. Obviously, he was on the receiving end of the touchdown against Cincinnati that put him in the playoffs. But
I thought you were going to say first touchdown ever.
Kevin Walter, that was Billy.
Yeah, it was Billy Miller.
Walter has the fourth most catches in franchise history.
Fourth?
The third most for a receiver.
So Dre, D-Hop, and who?
Well, I just gave you a big hint.
Owen Daniels.
There you go. Third most for a receiver.
Ah.
He has 900 more yards than Will Fuller. That was he's fourth in yards.
Well, Will Fuller didn't catch much, but when he did, it was for a big chunk of yards.
And Walter's third in receptions, third in yards, third in touchdowns for a receiver.
That's pretty good.
I don't think that you can go – he's tied with Fuller. I don't think you can put anybody above Kevin Walter for third.
Nico Collins
might be third as soon as the end of next year.
I'm not saying he wasn't good, but Kevin Walter, as you're rattling off those numbers.
No. I'm talking about just third best
receiver
now.
Receiver.
Kind of a segue to a different conversation. Yeah, definitely it's signed. Nico could be the third best Texans receiver relatively soon.
Yeah, they were saying – I saw
I mean, he has 150 catches. Walter had 326. Like, maybe 2 years away. Yeah, it might be 2 years away.
He's got to put some more skins on the wall, but
if Nico repeated his season that he had last year, I would put him ahead of Kevin Walter.
That's more of a credit to what Kevin Walter did because people didn't notice.
He was just kind of super solid.
He was a stat accumulator. I mean, he never had the huge blow-up
season.
Static
for a second. That's a weird thing to call a receiver, a static.
He
was like a Brandon Stokely or a Ed McCaffrey, guys that – because there were other great receivers on the roster that you didn't pay much attention to, but when you look back on it, he had a pretty good career here.
I think that Will Fuller is closer to Kevin Walter than Brandon Cooks is, though.
The Brandon Cooks?
How so? They're completely different wide receivers.
I'm talking about
statistically.
I'm talking about where they rank in Texans.
Yeah,
receiver
statistically,
history.
I think he's right.
I would have him above Brandon Cooks.
I would too.
He had more. He's tied for the most touchdowns. He's tied for the fourth most touchdowns. Tied with Kevin Walter. Will Fuller 209 catches, 3,100 yards. Cooks has more catches but less yards.
And I gotta believe that Fuller had more touchdowns.
Yeah. Fuller had 24. Cooks had 15.
Yep.
I guess I'm just looking at it from the highest level production on a season by season basis, more so than just being here longer, so you naturally accumulate more stats.
Well, I think Will Fuller probably had a better year.
Will Fuller probably played less games.
I don't think he ever had a yardage season better than Cooks.
He probably had a touchdown season better than Cooks, though.
Well, you would be right on that, I'm sure.
But I also believe that Will Fuller played like a quarter of a season total. He just caught everything for long touchdowns.
The one season he was actually going to have like a monster, not an all-pro season, but a monster season was the season when he got towards the end. He got popped with PEDs and he had to miss, like, I think, the last four or five games.
Well, because what I was going to say is I would be interested if Will Fuller played more games than Brandon Cooks in a Texans uniform, because Will Fuller just didn't play that many games. He just had big games when he played.
Fuller played 53. Cooks played 44.
Ooh, okay.
So 9 more games. That's not a lot.
No, it's not. It shows you how much he was injured.
Yeah.
Or suspended.
Yeah, so, that's my top five. Hopkins, Dre, 1-2.
Right.
Then you have Walter at 3. I would have Fuller at 4 and Cooks at 5. It's sad that Cooks makes your top 5.
It is. But Nico should at least erase some of that next year.
For the record, I said that backwards. I was just saying that Andre and Dre are my – or that Andre and DeAndre are my top 2. But I said I don't want anybody to get twisted that I have DeAndre ahead of Andre. I do not. I have Andre ahead of DeAndre.
Would that be an alphabetical order sort of thing?
I said my top tier, and then I realized I just said DeAndre first. I didn't mean that.
Was Antonio Smith the free agent?
Yeah, he was.
because Antonio Smith and Vince Wilfork for a short period of time, the textures brought up, those are honorable mentions.
Yeah, Antonio Smith was on my list. I didn't put Vince Wilfork there, but, I mean, he was certainly fun. But, yeah, Antonio Smith definitely deserves a mention.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said Rex Burkhead was bad. I'm glad that Rex Burkhead was a Texan. We can say sexy Rexies, the fighting Rex
Burkheads. The fighting Rex Burkheads. That's yours.
Yeah, I said both.
I know.
But a lot of people like to say sexy Rexies too. But yeah, the fighting Rex Burkheads. Like, how do you not like that Rex Burkhead was a Houston Texan?
Well, because he came from New England, and then we were Patriots South, and that was actually a negative.
2239.
Vince Wilfork.
This list of all-time Texans receivers is really depressing. It is. Cannot stand that Brandon Cooks is fifth.
But you want true depression? I saw on ESPN today.
True.
Because they were talking about Fields, and they were talking about the Bears, and they were saying that he still ranks statistically pretty high up in Bears, like, passing yardage, because Jay Cutler's the all-time leader of all the Bears quarterbacks. And they said, and Matt Schaub has the same stats as Jay Cutler. And the Texans organization has been around, like, a quarter to a third of the time that the Bears have. And the Bears have been so awful at quarterback for all these years that Cutler's their best quarterback of all time.
Cutler's a good quarterback. Lamont says, Wilfork and that D lineman we got from the Cardinals. I can't remember that. Who were the D linemen from the Cardinals?
Wasn't that Antonio Smith?
Wasn't it Smith?
I think he was. I think he did come from
there. I think it was.
Okay, yeah. Antonio Smith was good. He was opposite of JJ for a while.
Yep.
Really solid. All right, who are your best or who are the best and the worst free agent signings the Texans ever made? 713-780-3776. Speaking of contracts and things of that ilk, the Texans re-signed Dalton Schultz. I really like this contract. I'll tell you why. Also, John Gernard, is he going to break the bank? And what qualifies as breaking the bank? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.